Warning, The Bear Takedown is a filthy podcast about homosexual bears and chasers. All are welcome, except for coworkers and family members of the host. If I was you, I wouldn't listen, just saying. It is definitely not safe to listen to at work or while driving with your windows down. However, pants down listening is encouraged.
What up, my party people? How are you guys doing?
Hello, hello.
Are you getting out? Oh, my name is... Welcome to another episode of The Bear Takedown. My name is Nick.
And I'm Sugar.
And I hope you guys are out there, or close to getting out there, and having some party time in your life, or feeling that bass in the chest again.
No, things are opening up. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, I hope so. As you guys know, we live in the Portland metro area, and we are not quite... there yet as far as the big parties yet, but we are weeks away.
Yeah, we're much closer than we were before.
We can feel it. We hit that club where the bass goes dun, 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 till 2 a.m. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know
or
about that 2 a.m. stuff.
About 11:45 or something.
My body has adjusted to being home by 11.
Oh, gosh. A few things before we get into today's topic. The first is don't forget to follow us on social media. You can search The Bear Takedown on Facebook and Instagram are probably the two best. We do have Twitter. And make sure you can go to our website, which is thebeartakedown.com. You can find out all the places. Well, you already know that you're obviously streaming this, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But you can find out more information and that kind of stuff on there. And we do Sugar wants to tell you guys something coming up here in a few weeks.
Yeah, so like if you're going to be in the Portland area, which, you know, this time of year is the best time to be in the Portland area, on June 25th, I have a bear happy hour that I'll be doing at Silverado. So that is our fun little strip club that we have here in Portland. Features, you know, a lot of male dancers. So like I said, it'll be June 25th from 5 to 8 p.m. on a Friday. And like I said, it's a bear happy hour, so it's mainly focused towards, you know, the dancers that'll be there are like bears, cubs, and then we do have chasers as well. So it's fun to see some different body types on the pole and having a good time. Ooh. So there'll be drink specials and, you know, some fun guys on the pole having a good time. So if you're in the Portland area, I would highly suggest you come. It's a really, really good time.
And we'll put the event on our page.
Yep.
Link it so you can get some more info. It's the first one back because you started one. It was awesome. Everyone loved it. And then
coronavirus shut the world down. February 2020 had the first one. Was it February or March?
It was my birthday in February.
Yeah. So it was February 2020. We had the first one. It went over great. And then Miss Rona came into town, and we haven't had one since. So this will be our first one back.
Awesome. Be fun.
It should be. I'm very, very excited. So if you're here, come on down, and let's have a good time.
We'll also be in Seattle, second weekend in July.
That's right.
Party! It's the first Barracuda. We'll be back.
I know. That's awesome. And they're coming back to Portland as well.
The following weekend. Yeah. It'll be two weekends in a row with Barracuda. Let's get right in.
I'm going to have to do a detox.
Do you think you're going to feel a little like social anxiety? I don't know if that's the right word. A little anxiety of like a lot. This is a lot of people. Like, I don't know about this quite yet.
I don't think so. I feel like, you know, we took a trip just a couple weeks ago. We went out of town and we were in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And it was basically like there really wasn't anything going on. Everybody, yeah. You know. When you're there, you have to show that you're vaccinated and things. So, you know, we're vaccinated, so we felt very comfortable. But it was weird being back in that situation because we'd not been at a place where we could dance or people were dancing in over a year. But being back into it, it was just like riding a bike, girl. Got like right back in there.
Feet. You're like 6 feet. Oh, no.
No, I was like, let's shots for everybody. Let's dance.
Let's do it.
Play some Britney, please. So we were dancing like crazy and having a great time. So. I think it just feels so good to be doing it again that you just kind of forget about everything else.
Awesome. Well, we've been talking the last few episodes about different types of relationships and talking to different people about kind of what their world looks like and different things. And we're continuing that today.
Yep. We have a really good friend with us. We have Scott. He is one of the gentlemen that plays softball with us. That's actually how I met him when we started our softball team a few years ago, a couple years ago. He started playing with us and have really, you know, gotten to know each other over the past couple of years. Really enjoyed being with Sky. So, Sky, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
All your fans are here.
So we, Sky lives a little further away from us, so we don't get to see him as much as we'd like to. Was it from here 3 hours?
It's 2 hours.
2 hours.
Yeah, but way rural. Yeah. I am definitely a country queer.
Yeah, he's out in the country. So when we do get to see him, it's usually on softball days. And then we were lucky enough for him to have come down and do the podcast with us today. And so we're going to take him out tonight and show him the town here in the city.
Is that my reward?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So he's going to have a good time. We have, you know, talked to Sky about a lot of things, and he wanted to really have a very candid, open conversation, you know, to let us ask questions, to educate us on things. And the what's so interesting about Sky is he's an amazing person, very sweet, has a partner. They're super, super sweet together. But Sky is trans. He's a trans male. And we're going to just hear his story today. Like, you know, I want to tell me everything. Like, when you realized you were trans, you know, just start from the beginning.
Totally. I can jump in there. And I do want to say, like, I'm only going to speak to my own experience. I can't really talk about or talk on behalf of all trans guys, but I can share my story for sure.
Awesome.
So I first came out of the closet when I was 19 and had a relationship with a woman. And everybody was like, well, you're a lesbian, you're a lesbian. And I was like, that title doesn't fit. I don't know why. I know I am attracted to women right now, but lesbian doesn't really feel right. And as I started learning more about gender and the social construct of gender, I started to realize that I identified more masculine of center. And at first I was really resistant to it, and was really scared about what that meant for me and my life. But I was living in Dallas at the time and started performing as a drag king in the bars down there. Yeah. Got to the extent of saying, like, I'm a daily drag king, because I was like putting on facial hair all the time and binding and packing and doing the whole thing. And then in, it must've been 2010, I started testosterone. So it's been a while now, 11 years.
Almost. Oh, dang. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you, you said, like, so you were 19 and this, when you said you came out, was it to your family or did you start with friends or how did it go?
Yeah, I started out with friends, mostly my friends who were at college with me, cause I was so scared, about coming out to family members. And, it took about a semester before I had the courage to go home and be like, hey, mom, I like women, you know, which was funny because her response was, I still see you as someone who will end up with a man. And now I'm like, fast forward, and I'm like, maybe. So, yeah.
But did you, so you said come out, but so when did you feel like that? I don't know if this is the right term, but like, when did you feel that you weren't kind of who you were assigned at birth? Like when you were felt different, and when you say you come out, did, was that part of that? Or did you just start with like, I like girls?
Yeah. So I started with, I like girls. And what's interesting is for my story, I didn't know what trans people were. Like I grew up in a very sheltered area, very religious area. I didn't even meet someone who was gay or lesbian until my senior year of high school, in the flesh. Like, so my first experience with seeing lesbians kissing was like on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, it was not a part of like the real world, you know? And so I did start coming out, around sexuality in college. And then as I learned more about gender, in retrospect, I'm like, oh, this was always a part of me. Cause like when I was 6 or 7 with my cousin, we were pretending to pee standing up. And I was always like labeled as a tomboy as I was growing up. And, In puberty, all my girlfriends started wearing dresses and makeup and like talking to boys. And I was still in jeans and a t-shirt and like doing all the boy things, like being in drumline and just hanging out with the guys. And so in retrospect, I think it was always there, but I didn't have the words for it at the time.
So how was the conversation with your family when you told them you were going to transition? Was that... It seems like, I mean, you had to come out twice, basically. You came out as queer, and then you came out as trans. So how did that go?
Yeah, so my family was definitely more concerned about the trans side of things, mostly because of a lack of knowledge, right? Like, when people hear about trans folks, they first hear about surgeries, right? And so my mom was very much like, what, you're going to mutilate your body in order to like do this? And I was like, well, that's not what it's about, Mom, you know? And of course she was concerned about other health things and like surgeries and all of that. But with time she started to understand, you know, mm-hmm. With my sister, she was also taking a lot of gender studies courses. So she's like, woohoo, sounds great. You know?
Well, that's good when you have somebody in your corner that's more educated, mm-hmm. especially open-minded is part of it. But that you had your sister was great. That's awesome.
So absolutely. When, so you said you started taking testosterone at like 19?
I was 20, oh, okay. 21 at the time.
Okay. And then, so what is that process like? Like, is it, so do you start, I guess it's obviously a different journey for everyone, but do you start like that process? Like, okay, testosterone, what was the point of taking testosterone from the, like from the beginning? Maybe that would be.
Yeah. For me, I was very resistant to the idea of testosterone, and I was speaking to a counselor, which is pretty common. A lot of insurance companies require that you have a letter from a counselor saying like, this has been discussed. This person knows that they're consenting to what testosterone does. And so prior to the doctor's visit, I was very much like, I don't know if this is right for me. I don't know. I'm scared. And I eventually got to the point where I was like, well, I either try it out and see if it's right for me, or like literally I'm going to die. Right. Cause like I was so, cut off from my authentic self. And it felt like there was me, this guy named Sky inside. And then mm-hmm. there was a wall, and then there was like everyone else, you know? And so, I got to that place where I was like, I have to try something, you know? And then once I got to the doctor's office and I had this like, you know, support from my counselor, they were like, cool. Sounds like you've explored this. You know what you're looking for. Here's an informed consent sheet. And then they gave me the prescription that day, taught me how to do it.
So do some trans like just do testosterone, or does testosterone always like a precursor to like a surgery?
Yeah, it really depends on the individual. Okay. So, you really go with like what is going to help you feel consistent in your gender identity. For some people, it's hormones, top surgery, bottom surgery, the whole deal. For other folks, they can't take hormones for whatever reason. So then they just do surgery. And then there's all sorts of in between.
So when you started, did you know like you were gonna like have like the surgeries as well? Or was that just kind of like, I'm not sure.
Was that like a progression? As you, cause I'm sure it's a journey. It's a long journey.
Yeah. I actually knew that I wanted top surgery before I knew I wanted hormones.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, get these things off of me, please.
Oh my God. That's what I said when I hooked up with a woman. Get these things off of me. Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then, I'll be open about bottom surgery too. I don't mind talking about it. So, for me in the past, I was like, I don't know if I can do the bottom surgery thing. The research at the time, there was some concern about losing sensation and like all of that. I will say in these 11 years, surgery has come a long way, and like loss of sensation isn't as much of a concern as it used to be. And so now I'm at this place where I'm like, well, maybe I do want bottom surgery. And so I'm in that question right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you haven't?
I have not had, well, I've had a hysterectomy, okay. but I haven't had phalloplasty or a meta.
And without getting too like medical, because I care more about the, I not care, but I care, want to know more about the journey and what your life is like today. Yeah. But like, what does that, for someone that's naive in not too graphic terms, what does that look like for you?
What is that process? Somebody?
What is that process?
You don't have to tell us what it looks like. You just, what's the process?
Well, you don't want to know what it looks like? Come on now. So the process for bottom surgery, so a lot of trans guys get a hysterectomy at some point. And again, there's such a wide variety of bottom surgeries. So some guys go with a phalloplasty where they create a penis out of a flap, either coming from either the thigh or the forearm or the abdomen. And then they can do like a whole creating a scrotum and a vaginectomy and like all of this during multiple stages of surgeries. They even do an erectile device. So trans guys who have had that can stay hard for as long as they want to, which is awesome.
I like that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Because you just turn it on?
Yeah, it's more like a pumping it up
Sort of
situation.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And then there's a metoidoplasty, which they don't create a phallus, but they release the natal dick or the clitoris, which allows it to be erect and further away from the body. And they often do a Mons resection at that same time, so removing the little fat cushion from the pelvic area. And so with testosterone, since, and again, I'm going to be a little graphic to tell you what things look like. With testosterone, my what I call my dicklet has grown to be about 3 inches. So with a meta, if I release that, then I can experience penetration with my clitoris or natal dick.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you said you've thought about these things, like that's, you know, part of the journey, you're thinking about it. Have you decided which one you would want to do or which route you'd want to take if you did that?
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards a meta. I'm not 100% convinced, but what's cool about the meta is if I change my mind later, then they could do a phalloplasty.
Okay.
Most of my like hesitation with the phalloplasty is how many stages it takes, and it's like weeks and weeks off of work, and I just don't know if my life is conducive to that right now.
Is that something that you have to pay out of pocket, or does insurance cover that? Is it?
Yeah, so it's supposed to be covered by insurance. Okay. And it kind of depends on like what state you're living in and whether or not they've adopted anti-discrimination laws around that. But it is often covered by insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to backtrack just a little bit because you did bring up, you said you did go through a full hysterectomy, correct?
I did, yeah.
Now, was that, you know, you've seen a lot of stories, you know, out there. There are trans men that did not and they end up getting pregnant, you know, they have their child. Was that something you considered? Like, did you want to like freeze eggs or did you think of doing something like that?
Yeah, I thought about it prior to the histo, but that isn't something that like I want in my life. I'm like, nobody needs these genetics. Like, I'm okay with those going away.
Yeah, I think, and that's the interesting part of it. Like when I say it's a journey, because it's different for everybody. Like there are some people that want to do that and there's some that don't, and there's nothing wrong with it either way.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you said you've been through the top surgery, you're still considering the bottom surgery. I do kind of want to fast forward or ask a question. How did your relationships go? Like when you started transitioning, like were you still dating women?
Yeah, so I have only been in long-term relationships with women so far.
Okay.
And it's interesting. So when I first started testosterone, I was with someone who was newly coming out as lesbian, and our relationship ended because she's like, I can't be with a man. Like, I was in a heterosexual marriage before. I'm coming into my lesbian identity. Like, I'm not going to be with a man. And so slightly tragic, but I understand now, like 10 years later. And then I had a partner when I first started testosterone and had top surgery. And then my wife now has been fully supportive.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And what's interesting for me, and I think, and I say this because lack of education or being around people that are trans or, you know, hearing things. So you usually hear the bad stuff or like the wrong information. If you watch any of those talk shows from the 90s, you know, those types of things. So one thing that that I realized, like an epiphany, it was seeing people that, because it used to be like, if you're a woman and you want to be with women, why do you have to transition? Or like, why do you have to become a man to do that? Why can't you just be a lesbian? But then what I realized is like, because you see people that like are signed female at birth, they transition to men, and then they're with men.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. It's for me, it really clicked when I started seeing people that way, because it was, gender is not about your sexuality, like right. completely. Like, it's your gender is what you feel are on the inside, and who you're attracted to sexually is two completely different things. And I think a lot of people think like, oh, I'm gay. If I was a woman, it'd be easier, you know, that type of thing. But it's, yeah. it's just, I love that part of it. Like meeting people that, you know, are, you know, have that, it's, they didn't transition just because of sexuality.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And it is like a very different part of yourself,
yeah.
right? Your sexuality versus your gender. And it really helped me understand when I stopped looking at sexuality as like, what gender are you attracted to? But more like, are you same gender attracted or other gender attracted? Mm-hmm. And so folks who are trans can be same gender attracted and be lesbians and then transition and then be gay men because right. they're same gender attracted the whole time.
And that's what you know, a lot of times when I think of it, so I'm like, I hate to bring this person up as an example, but I think of Caitlyn Jenner, you know, when she, right. when she first came out, when she transitioned, you know, she was like, I'm still going to date women. So like in that situation, would she identify as lesbian? I mean, would, you know, like, yeah. is that how, or you just, you do think trans people don't like to put a label on it?
Well, I hesitate because I don't know how Caitlyn Jenner identifies, but I would assume that transitioning and being identified as a woman and dating women that she would then identify as a lesbian.
Yeah, lesbian.
Yeah.
So you said you have, you know, you're in a relationship, you have a wife, she's very supportive.
Yes.
So tell me what you're comfortable with, the dynamics there, like, because y'all are open to some extent,
we
correct?
Are, okay. Yes.
So what are the things that y'all like to do together or separate or like, you know, tell us that story.
Tell you about my partner. Absolutely. So I met my wife when we were in grad school. When I first met her, I was like, how do you identify? Are you interested in queer people? Are you straight? What's going on? She doesn't really like labels. So she came up with a new one for herself, which I want to share. She identifies as Quetero, which is...
Say it one more time.
Quetero. She decided to combine queer and hetero. And okay. I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't make sense. And she's
hard
like,
to say.
Yeah. And she's like, it makes sense to me because right. I can be both. So she defines it as being queer identified, but being perceived as hetero mm-hmm. in our relationship. And yeah, what do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Well, when you met her, you had transitioned, correct?
I had just had top surgery about 6 weeks before okay. I met her.
So she knew you were... trans male.
Yes.
So in yeah. going into the relationship, like it was, she knew.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, because you, part of the thing that's like fascinated us that we didn't know the first year we knew you was that, cause we just assumed that you were married to a woman, mm-hmm. that that's where your story ends, but that's not necessarily where your story ends as far right. as your attraction.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. So, it is always interesting to talk to folks who meet me on the street and don't necessarily know that I'm trans. Cause they perceive us as a straight couple. Mm-hmm. Right. And, so I have to essentially come out all the time as being trans
oh, yeah.
And then explain like, not only am I trans, but I am trans and queer identified.
Right. You
know? Yeah.
And yeah, because that's, to have to tell that story over and over again, because obviously yeah. for me, I'm a gay man. I'm married to a gay man.
Right.
They know we're gay men. Yeah. So like, that's an that's like a good party story over the dip. Yeah. So when y'all first started dating, in the beginning, because we've talked about this on previous podcasts, like with open relationships, they kind of progress. So mm-hmm. when did y'all realize that y'all wanted to start exploring other options or doing different things?
Yeah. So from the very beginning, we always said like, we're open to being open. I think that was a foundation in our relationship. And, I had, I guess like experimented with open and poly relationship prior to being with who is my now wife. And honestly, like my past experiences did not go very well. So then I was kind of like, I don't know about this. But then with her, we had such great communication from the get-go that I was like, oh yeah, like we could do the open thing and we can talk through it and be very honest with each other. And I think it'll go well. So we were always open to being open. But we did like, we were basically monogamous for like the first 2 or 3 years of our relationship before we actually started like inviting other folks in.
Yeah.
But and you guys are both open to having sex with males.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, so
you're just jumping right in there. Oh, well, I was building.
I'm sorry.
We were building here.
I was like, I feel like I keep asking this question, but no one is getting there.
No, you finally asked it this time. Okay, you were beating that. Around the bush. Oh, well, okay.
No, what's really fun about that is we can like check out guys together. You know, so it's like a shared experience of like, oh, he's cute, or like, let me check out his dating profile for you.
So it is very much attraction. It's not like a necessarily like pansexual situation where it's like, well, if the vibe is right, it is like lustful attraction, like, oh, they're hot. Or
yeah, I would say that she is more into the like friends with benefits, like they're hot, like could go for it sort of thing. I'm more in the like, but what's their personality like, and a little bit slower.
Yeah.
So
is she had queer rhetorical, queer
quetero,
quetero,
which is a lot like pansexual, by the way.
So is she open, like she likes hooking up with women as well?
She does. I think she prefers being with men more often than not. But she's definitely had experiences with women, and it seems to have gone well.
Do you guys have experiences together or separate?
Yeah, so we have had mostly experiences together, and just a couple of experiences separate. Okay. Yeah.
And so when the urge strikes, as it always does, you know, I always call it, I want a little strange, or let's go, you know, you want something a little different. Mm-hmm. What is your means for that outlet? Like, obviously, you live in a very rural area.
Right.
I'm sure if you pulled up Grindr, there's like two people.
Exactly.
You and another person.
I've already done that.
So is it, you know, if you decide you want to do this, is this like something you have to like plan out? Like, I have to go to the next biggest town, or have to come into Portland, or how does that work?
Yeah. It is really tough being rural. And because we're so far out, it's been very slow for me. I do have a Grindr account, and there are like, you know, four.
And they're 60 miles away.
Yeah. Or there's like truckers coming through, but
that's not
fine. You like the truckers? Okay.
What is the fantasy thing? It's that whole get into the cab of my truck and
be dirty. This out. Yeah. And bye. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, four people.
Yeah. So honestly, for me, online dating hasn't ever really gone anywhere. I think I just am not very good at it. So I prefer to have activities like softball, where I get to know friends who then introduce me to people, and then just kind of see where it goes from there.
And what's the challenges of being trans, like on the apps? Like, is it just being straightforward and then let's see who kind of like anybody else, like, how, who responds to me or who hits me up or whatever?
Yeah. So, I do like that the apps, like there are like the trans, I think they call them tribes. And like on other apps, I'm open about my identity because I don't really want to deal with the surprise or the look of disgust if somebody doesn't know that I'm trans. And so in some ways it's really helpful because it's like already out there. And in other ways, so the trans community has their own form of chasers. Oh. Right. Oh. And so I'm always like, well, is this someone who's like really attracted to me for me, or is it because I'm a fetish?
Yeah. That's what I was going to, cause it can cross over to fetishism at certain points. Right.
Like, yes.
I mean, obviously we've talked about like, we're kind of in a fetish subculture, like we're big guys and we like little guys and they only like big guys. So
yeah.
In your world, is it easy to kind of point out, like, in the beginning, like, this person is, this is just a fetish for them, or how can you weed those out?
Yeah, the way that I look at it is, like, what's that first message, right? Is that first message, like, hey, how are you? I want to get to know you. Like, tell me about your interests. Or is it, like, here's my drawer of dildos. I really want to fuck you right now, right? Like, yeah. I'm like, ugh, you know.
A lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot for a first message, yeah. You know? the other thing that's hard about the apps for my wife and I is, like, I hate to compare us, but, like, she gets so many likes and messages because her dating pool is so big as a woman who's attracted to men. And here I am, like, looking for gay men who are interested in trans men. And it's like, where are you?
Can you narrow it down any the filters anymore?
Right, yeah. Well, right.
Yeah, well, I open, like, Jake's, I see his, like, scruff sometimes, and there's just, like, tons of messages. I'm like, bitch, I'm lucky if I get a message a week.
Right?
Well, you know, and part of the apps, and I know for me and Patrick, like, our apps is us. You know what I mean? Like, it's because generally we do not hook up without each other. Like, it's just, it's always together. So it's hard to find people that we're both attracted to or both attracted to both of us. So is that, like, do you think that's a problem that y'all have? Like, it's, like, is it, you find a guy and he's only attracted to her,
right?
But, like, you can watch, or, like, how does that dynamic work when that happens?
Yeah, I mean, it is really hard because the guys who are attracted to her tend to be straight guys, right? And the guys who are attracted to me tend to be gay guys. And then there's those, like, bisexuals out there in the world somewhere that were like, okay, where are you? Come find us. And so, yeah, it does get really hard. And honestly, like, again, the apps haven't really been productive for us. It's been more organic. Like, we had relationships with friends or something that then we get really close and then magic happens.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, with you living so far out and, you know, what your interests are, like, is there a certain type of guy that you're into? Like, a certain type, you know, we talk about we're into chasers, skinny athletic guys, they're into bears. Like, what are you kind of into? What's your type?
I knew you were going to ask me this question. And I don't know that I have a type, unless, like, firefighters is a type.
Oh, well, I don't think that's a type.
A man in uniform?
A man in uniform.
I need a hero. Yeah, I think that's a top. I mean, there definitely are, like, burly firefighters, and there are skinny, muscular firefighters. So which one do you want to save you on the ladder?
I like the skinny muscle type of guy. But
so he likes
again,
what we like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, but I'd also say, like, that's not an end all be all.
Right.
Like, it really is about personality for me, as, like, cliche as that sounds. But I'm like, we have to be able to have a conversation.
I get it. I'm the same way. Like, for me, I always, like, I have an ideal top. Like, this is what I like.
Bitch.
If I were to pick one that I like, I'd say it. But I more so than you do, Nick, because you are the worst.
Oh, here goes the finger.
You will not vary outside
that
of your lane.
Not true.
He has a lane, and he will look over, but never turns on that blinker and gets in that lane. Whereas I'm kind of like you. Like, if I meet them, and they're nice, and, like, I'm having a good time with them.
Yeah.
And if Patrick's attracted to him, I can get into it because he's turned on, and I'm turned on when he's turned on. And then if it's a fun person, you're going to have fun no matter what. Totally. Nick's not that way.
That is not true.
You know it's
some
true.
Of us are just more whores than...
Oh, is that what
you
it is?
You get what you get, right?
Or maybe some of us are sauces. Or
I'll just wait. It's fine waiting. So do you... I don't know how to ask this question, but do you prefer, like, anal sex?
Oh.
Or
she's just jumping in today.
I just want to ask. The people want to know.
Are you talking about giving or receiving?
Receiving.
Ooh. So I am not super experienced in receiving with cisgender men. So I can't really answer that question.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Actually,
because we had a friend that called it a bonus hole.
Yes.
The bonus hole.
That was, I played rugby with a guy and I didn't know he was trans. We were just out drinking one night and he told me. I was like, I did not know. And then that conversation came up and he was like, because he liked women and men as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what do you like to do? And he's like, well, I like my bonus hole. I was like, your bonus hole? He's like, yeah, it self-lubricates. It's all good.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I died though when he said that. I'd never heard that term before. But I guess, I mean, that's, you know, but you say you're not that experienced?
Not that experienced.
Okay.
I mean, other than, like, fantasizing, right?
Yeah. Well, do a lot of that. So with is that like a goal? Do you want to explore more of that side of that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. I know we were talking about bear events earlier, and that's like, I think that's a good chance for you to test the waters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because there's so many different types of men and like attracted to different men, and you're very cubbish. So like,
oh, thanks.
Yeah, like, so like those events, I think you do very well at. Like, so with where you are at now, so is it like if you're off, like say your wife is out of town and she sees somebody like, and she's like, I'm attracted to them. Is it okay with y'all? Like in your conversation, is it okay for her to do what she wants to, or does she need to like talk to you about it first, or and yeah. vice versa?
Yeah. So we have this really fun setup right now. It's kind of silly, but we decided that in order for things to be equitable, because it does take me longer to like find partners and dates and all of that, that I basically have the go ahead to start dating, you know, making those connections with various people. And then she'll be like close behind me once things get flowing a little bit more. But alongside that, we have this ticket system of the don't ask, don't tell ticket. And she issued herself two of those and she gave me four.
Oh,
yeah. So if we're
two for one, BOGO.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So essentially, like if we're out at a place and, we are very sure that each other won't find out about it, or it won't be a long-term thing and the stars align, then we get to like cash in on one of those tickets and it's like, don't ask, don't tell, yeah. essentially. And it's not cheating because we already decided that's okay.
Yeah. And like we've talked about in the past, you know, there's a lot of different rules for a lot of different relationships.
Yeah.
And I think it is, you kind of have, like you said, less of an opportunity to do things. So when an opportunity has come up, you kind of got to seize it. You know, yes. you got to make it happen. So that's great that she's that way, because a lot of people be like, if I'm not getting it, you're not getting it. You know, that type of situation. So
yeah, totally. And then there's like very weird logistics. Like she's often out of cell service because we live way out. Mm-hmm. And so it's just easier to be like, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to like ask permission.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what does she like, when you say like it's a don't ask, don't tell, like does she like to hear the stories afterwards, or like do y'all like to share those types of things?
Yeah, she's more open to hearing about it. I typically don't want to hear about it. I'm like, just go do you.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I think it's because she's often connecting with straight men and I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You'd like to hook up with straight men, don't you, Dan?
Oh, I'd love to hook up with straight men. Maybe she can be your wingman. Or she could be my wingman.
Yeah.
And the thing
real
is,
man.
She's very pretty. So yeah. I can see where it's easy for her to pull some tail, you know, for lack of a better term.
She's
like
pretty. She's down to earth. Yeah.
And a great personality. Like, she just seems like a great person.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So where you are now, like, in life, like... Mm-hmm. Are you, what if you could go back and tell yourself, Scott, 19, you're going through these feelings, what do you think you'd go back and tell yourself then?
Ooh, I think one of the things that is really hard is, as I was coming into my trans identity, I was so disconnected from my body because I was experiencing dysphoria and it was so intense. And what I would tell myself is, it's actually really important to be in your body during the changes because it only happens once, you know, like that transition is so beautiful and so meaningful for my life. And I feel like I almost missed it because I was like, ah, get them off, you know, like all of that. So I would say like, no, like pay attention and really be in it.
That's awesome. And that's good advice.
And what would be like, do you have any like kind of personal goals or like, I have like bucket list items that I would like to happen. So what are some of your like near term, like next year bucket list or things that you would like to hopefully, like if we talk to you in a year, what would you hopefully have done in your like journey?
As far as
and we're not talking work and
use all four of those hall passes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, use my four tickets
in one night.
I definitely so I want to get more clear about the bottom surgery thing. I've been consulting with some folks around that. I would love to have more experiences just being in relation with men in whatever way that looks like. It is really affirming to be in spaces with gay men and just be seen for who I am, and having folks who are attracted to me just as my body is now. And yeah, the bear community has been so healing for that. And so I'd love to go to some of those events that we were talking about earlier and yeah, just like experience that.
Well, we'd love to have you come with us. So you should definitely
yeah,
tag along. Well, one thing I did want to ask you is, like, there has been a huge turn for trans people, like, in media today and like movies and like television shows. As someone that has, you know, been going through this for 11 years, what do you think about, you know, the way, just in the past couple of years, really, how things have changed for trans people? Like, how does that make you feel? Like, what do you think about with that?
Yeah, I love that more people are paying attention to what it means, and they kind of know already. So instead of me having to answer all the questions myself, there are these examples in society. But I would also say, like, trans people have always existed, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we go through periods in our culture where it's like, it's talked about, it's in media, like folks kind of know. And then there goes into this like wave of oppression where we get erased and silenced. And we do see that with the legislation, not to get too serious, but yeah, the legislation coming out in the past year. And so I just like am accepting the ebb and flow of that and just being like, when we do have these stories of celebrities that are transitioning, like Elliot Page, right? Yeah. Just like, it's so hopeful for youth in particular to be able to see that. And
Yeah, because I cannot imagine being a trans person at the age of 10 and you're not seeing any representation. Like, the only thing you do, like I said, all I remember is seeing it from the 90s, like on Geraldo, you know, and they talked about transvestites and, you know, things like that. And they,
yeah,
the way they talked about them and the way they were portrayed in movies, they were either murdered or, you know, prostitutes, drug addicts, things like that.
Right. Or like my first experiencing a trans person was like Ace Ventura, right?
Right.
Like the villain.
Yeah. And that's how it, and, you know, that's how trans people were always portrayed. But like, I look at Pose, and I like that show. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and
it's so
like,
good.
And they did such a good way. They did such a good thing with casting actual trans people to play these parts.
Yes. They're all so beautiful.
Yeah. And like talented, like, yeah, you know, a lot of times people, they were just like, well, they can't act or they can't do, these people can act and they're great at yeah, what they do. And it shows that you can really get trans people to play trans roles, or like get yes, a gay person to play a gay part. You don't always have to get a cis gender person to play a gay or trans person. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And I love that we're seeing more representation for the trans people. So it's been yeah, awesome seeing that.
Yeah.
And I did want to have like a little side conversation here.
Oh,
I've been waiting to, I'm going to ambush you with this question.
Okay, let's do it.
And then Sugar, you can mediate. So when I've asked you before, like how you identify, mm-hmm, like what is your term, your answer is
queer.
So for me, I do not like that word.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
So I consider it with faggot and other like demeaning things, and I totally understand like the like I'm taking it back point of view, like similar to black people in the N-word or whatever. Like I can use it, like, but don't, but I, so it kind of like takes away the sting from it. And it's a word that can mean a lot of different things is why you use it.
Absolutely.
And, but for me, like if someone was to call me queer, I would be triggered and I'd ask them not to do that, or they would not get necessarily a response that they would like. And
right,
so it's kind of like, to me, I put it in the same word as like saying fag or faggot. Like, I just don't like it. I won't ever use it. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it's semi like triggering back in today's when we would get made fun of or whatever.
Right.
And so I don't know. So So when you say that, I'm like, oh, like, why would you call yourself that?
Right.
Because, like, isn't there other terms that would be less, I don't know.
Well, I get what you're saying. Because,
triggering, but.
Because it's like, you know how people would be like, oh my God, you're so gay. Or like, that's queer. You know, when it's like, when they're really saying like, that's stupid. Or I don't like that. I get that, but and it's your question to answer. Like, but for me, queer like has changed to, it's almost like an identity. But I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't hear a lot of people say queer anymore. So I get what you're saying. Because back in the day, in the 90s, it was like saying fag, you know,
right? And
you're
queer. Sugar, do you use that? Do you use queer?
No, I say gay. I identify as gay. Like, I think queer is, I mean, this is the way I look at it. I think it's for people that it's like, they don't really fit into like the gay box or the lesbian box or the, you know, or the trans box. Like, I kind of go any way that I want to. Like, I like to wear women's clothes or men's clothes or today, whatever I feel like. Like, for me, queer kind of encompasses this whole, like, I'm into everything. I like to do everything. I don't want to conform to any type of gender, or like, I just want to do whatever I want to do. If I want to wear jeans and a t-shirt today or tomorrow, if I want to wear a sundress. And that's what I think of it as now.
Absolutely.
But that's, what do you, yeah. you tell us yours?
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that with us, Nick. So, to me, it does really depend on how someone's using that word, right? If someone yelled like from the back of their truck when I'm walking down the street, if they're like, you queer, right? I'd be upset. I'd be like, oh my gosh, like that was a slur that was just thrown at me. But I do view it as an umbrella term. And because I don't really fit in the other boxes very well, I'm definitely not a lesbian. You know, I am definitely a trans man. And I do find myself attracted to all kinds of different genders. I could just as easily use pansexual. But I also, for some reason, it doesn't resonate with me as much as just being like more fluid with the umbrella term instead.
Yeah. I think that's a better term. What I was trying to think of, I think queer people, when people use the term queer, they're more fluid. Like,
yeah.
I think that to me, that's what I see it as now. But I do see what you're saying, Nick. Like, I remember back in the day, queer was
like equivalent to smear the queer.
Yeah. Like that was
kind of like negative connotation. And I just, for me, it's just a word I don't use, but I definitely see like, it is very much like what you're saying, like how it's used, you know, if it's like, oh, a queer art festival or a queer art gallery or whatever, then you're like, okay. But if someone, you're right, if someone yells you queer, like, or whatever, then it's totally means something different or whatever. But that's the same thing as less, you know, quote unquote triggering words like girl. Like if some dude called me, hey girl, or like stop being a girl or whatever, or hey lady or whatever, or you're so girly, or you know, whatever, then, but if Sugar says, hey girl, what are you doing Friday night? You know, that's totally like fine. But if someone else says it, then it's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. It's always how you approach. And then, you know, and I felt bad because in softball, we obviously play gay softball. Or queer softball, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But like most everybody on the team is gay. And like, you know, for me, Nick knows this ever since for years, I just always call men girl or hey lady, how you doing lady? What's your day like lady? Hey girl, what are you doing? So, and I realized I had called you girl and I was like, oh my God, I hope he doesn't think I'm misgendering him. Or like, you know, you go, you tailspin and it's like, it, to me, it's just your sky and your my friend, and I call all my friends girl.
Totally. In gay spaces, girl is gender neutral.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And but I do spell it with a U, though.
Yeah, with the U, it's okay. Yeah. But it is like, yeah, you definitely feel like we want to 100% like respect you. So it's kind of like, but then on the other part of that, it's like, oh, well, can I say this or should I not say this? Or how do I use these pronouns or whatever? And it's, you know, it's the same thing as like my brother like makes gay jokes, but he's not, but he totally accepts me and Jake and whatever and would have us over and like, but he's just trying to be like kind of funny or whatever. So it's not like out of malice that they're using those terms. So I imagine that it's the same way. You're not like mad at Sugar because he calls you a lady or a girl.
Right.
He's doing it not out of malice, but out of just like his.
You're my girl.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, you know, it is important. Like, I do think it's important to like, you know, respect people's boundaries and things like that. But for me, like, I still want to have a good time and, like, be respectful of people in the same sense. So.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, I appreciate it. Like, you have given us so much information today. I think we've been talking much longer than I thought we had been. And I appreciate you being open. I know it's very sensitive. And for me, it's educational. And it's good to know things. And it's good to be in a safe space where you can talk about it.
Of course.
And somebody like you, like you've been great. And I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm so happy to be here. And kind of like I've said before, if we were not friends and you just saw me on the street and you started asking all these questions, I'd be like, no, yeah. but because we are friends, like, and we have that trust and I'm happy, I'm an open book, you know, we can talk about penises all the time.
And just to
we love talking about penises,
and not just to be also like respectful, like I just want to like see, like, what would you say if someone was, you know, struggling with their identity or thinking they're trans, or they know they're trans but they don't know what to do next? Is there any like resources out there that you have found helpful? Like, is there a website or organization that you would say, hey, go check in with them, and then, you know, go from there?
Yeah. So one of the things that really helped me when I was first questioning my gender identity was actually meeting up with other trans guys, you know, finding folks who were similar, that could be like older brothers to me, to kind of help me through the process and be mentors. And I think that's such a beautiful thing about our community, whether it's the trans community or the gay community, is we're always looking out for like the quote unquote like younger ones of us and helping them come out. I really like the Trans Student Educational Resource website, especially for youth. It has the gender unicorn and kind of describes gender identity, gender expression, all of that. And so that's what I would suggest.
Okay, cool. And we'll put that link in the show notes. So if you want to, like read more or understand more, or, you know, do a little research,
educate yourself.
Yeah. That would be a good resource. So, okay, cool. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Before we get out of here, we want to do a Hortax, and Hortax is a way you can go on our website, thebeartakedown.com, click on the Hortax, and I'll take you to a link. You can, donate to the show that way. Thank you very much. And, but you can also tell us in a situation that you need to be forgiven for. You just can't get it off your mind and you just need to let somebody know. You can give us your little story and your not name from not where you're from. And, we'd love to share that and forgive you. Yep. So we have one today, right, Sugar?
I do. There was one that came in, from a gentleman named Brian. Brian. I'm just going to use the first name.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for the donation.
But his story came through. So he went out to a local event in his town. It was like a little dance party. Oh, obviously, this is in a city that's already opened back up. So it had been, you know, long COVID, not been doing a lot of things. So went out, saw this group of people. It was four of them. One of them was a couple. And they were just, you know, started hanging out, dancing together. They were vibing really well. He said, we were drinking and dancing throughout the night and had a great time. We exchanged info that night and decided that we'd go to brunch the next day. So they were a really great group of guys. We had a lot of fun, and we decided we'd make plans to hang out the next weekend. Oh. So throughout the week, they were texting back and forth, and the couple who he was talking to, he asked him if he liked to roll. He's like,
roll.
What is roll?
Like, go for a drive?
Like, roll around in the sheets. Like, you know, he's like, he didn't understand what it meant. So he was like, I wasn't sure what they meant, and asked, and they said, we're talking about Molly. He's like, I let them know that I'd never taken it before, and they said, it's really fun. You know, we have a safe environment. We like to do it with our friends. So I thought about it for a couple of days and let them know I was down to try it, you know, being around them and trusting them.
DTM.
What's that mean?
Down to Molly.
What are we talking
Molly?
About?
Molly.
Oh, down to Molly.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what that meant.
Sorry.
So fast forward to the weekend.
They can't all be winners.
He goes to the couple's place, and there's five of them there, including him, the couple, and the two people they hung out with before.
Oh, fine.
And so they got there. They got comfortable. We took the pills, and we're sitting around laughing and talking. After about 30 to 45 minutes, he started feeling it. He said it was very different than drinking, and everything just started feeling very good. And everyone started rubbing on each other, and he realized how much the touch was amazing, just the feeling of being touched by them. then he could feel them rubbing his arms and rubbing his head, and everything was just awesome and wonderful. Oh. He said, before I knew it, someone was rubbing my cock through my shorts, and I was rock hard. Oh. So, he said, then everyone started making out. Then I felt my shorts coming down and felt a mouth on my penis. What? It was incredible. I'm reading it the way he wrote it. He said, then it just went from there. He said, a guy was sitting on me. I was fucking a guy.
Wow.
There was a dick in my mouth while I was fucking someone.
What's the small you speak
of? Like an orgy. He said, like, it felt like it went on for like an hour and a half. And when he finally came, it was the most insane orgasm of his life.
Oh.
So he says, everything was very intense, but I'm reaching out today and asking for forgiveness because I plan on doing this a lot more going forward.
Oh, okay. No toe dip.
So I'm going to say, Brian, this is just my opinion, but I forgive you.
Yeah, I forgive you, I guess. I mean, it's kind of hard to forgive Molly, but we'll do it.
Do you forgive him, Scott?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
All right. Well, thanks very much. Don't forget, if you're in Portland, Bear Sugar presents Bear Happy Hour. Also, we'll be at Barracuda in Seattle and Barracuda here in Portland. Thanks so much.
Thank you,
Sky, to Sugar. Have a great week or weekend or whatever. And we'll hit you up next time on the Bear Takedown. Let's go.